Chapter number two. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning already. And I appreciate God's goodness that He's already demonstrated His presence. We've already felt. The Lord's been real good to us. Luke chapter 2, when you find that place, you can't enable. Stand with us as we give reverence to reading God's word. Luke chapter number 2. We'll begin reading in verse number 8. Familiar story here, but we'll give just what God's give us. In Luke chapter number 2, in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy,
yes, sir,
which shall be to all people.
That's right.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which he is Christ the Lord." Verse 12, it says, "And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Suddenly there was with them an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Came to pass as the angels gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Verse 20 says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time. And Lord, we appreciate what you've already done. I don't know, Lord. I'm thankful for this church, and I'm thankful, God, that you've allowed us to be here. I appreciate, Lord, our Sunday school hour this morning, and I pray, God, I don't know, Lord, if you was trying to help them or me, but God, I'm thankful that you did both, I believe, and I'm thankful for that help. I'm thankful for the comfort that I have in your word. Lord, I know this morning as we come before you, we just ain't much. But Lord, I pray, God, would you help me one more time? Lord, I ask you, God, that you'd anoint us afresh this morning, and God, help us, Lord, as we look at the words of God. God, open up the people's hearts. God, I pray, help us not to go one word beyond what you'd have me to say. God, we'll be careful to thank you for everything, be said or done. In Christ's name and for his sake, I do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested this morning in verse number 8. And with the help of the Lord, Bible says that there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. With the help of the Lord this morning, I'd like to preach on the subject on why the shepherd. I don't know about anybody else, but I begin to think, and we all know the Christmas story, and dear God, we've heard it rehearsed so many times, and we've heard and so many folks tell it in different ways. If we're not real careful, the Christmas story becomes just a whole lot like the resurrection. We've heard it so many times that, dear God, it doesn't do much for our heart, doesn't stir in us too much, but I'm thankful that the Son of God was born, friend. And just like he said he was going to be born, I'm thankful for the cross of Calvary. I'm thankful for the resurrection. But dear friend, I'm thankful that there was a time, and that the God of all glory, and the Bible says when the fullness of time was come, and God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might
redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so I'm thankful. And that, dear God, in the midst of 400 silent years, in earth's darkest time, when religion was growing rampantly, what we find is that the Son of Almighty God came. I'll tell you, oh, what a day, friend, that it was when the Son of God made himself manifest in the flesh. Oh, listen, friend, he was God before this day, and he is going to be God after this day. But I sure am glad that he came made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and that he through flesh might destroy the power of the flesh. I say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But I begin to think of all the people he could have appeared to. Why did he come to the shepherds first? I mean, listen, friend, we understand Simeon was a righteous man, and yet Simeon did not get to see him first. I understand Nicodemus was a good man, but God did not appear under the rabbis and the Pharisee. He did not demonstrate himself to the Sadducee. And dear God, he did not come unto the social elite or to the folks that had been prophesied. But he came to the shepherd. And so I begin to think, I want to know why. Amen. I'm interested in why the shepherd. And dear God, of all the choices and that the God of all glory had, and why would he appear unto the shepherd? Well, there must be a reason, friend. And God doesn't do anything by chance. And there's not just, and God didn't just happenstance, and they just happened to be in the right place at the right time. But it was foreordained in the plan of God that these men should see them first. And so, Lord, give me some things I want to preach this morning on why the shepherd. Might I say to you, first of all, it may be because they had the same position. And can you imagine that day as they were setting over, dear God, keeping their sheep by night, and all of a sudden the light began to rain down upon them, and they said, boy, there's another shepherd over there. And man, he's not like you are. And dear God, I'm thankful that he's a shepherd that's never lost and not one sheep in his flock. I'm telling you, dear God, I don't know who these men were, and they may have been good men, it may have been fine shepherding men, it may have been long lines of men, but they hadn't never met a shepherd and quite like that shepherd. I want you to understand, as they began to make their way that day, and no doubt they didn't know fully what it was they were going to see. But I'm telling you, dear friend, and when they got over there and lifted up their eyes, you say, preacher, and you believe that they knew he was the Son of God, and you better believe he was as much the Son of God and the very first moment he was born, and dear God, as he was the day he died, he was just as much God then as he ever was. I want you to understand. I mean, we've got record in God's Word that even John the Baptist, man, when he was in Elizabeth's womb, understood that the baby in Mary's womb was the Christ of God. I'm telling you, dear friend, that even before he came, man, down to this earth, he stood as the Christ. Even when he was in the womb, he was recognized as Christ. And Simeon, no doubt, had held many babies. But he had never held a baby and quite like this one. And these shepherds had probably met other shepherds, but they had never met a shepherd and quite like this one. Isn't it amazing that when they came to him, and they came as shepherds, but they left as lambs? Amen. I don't understand how all of that worked, but I'm telling you, maybe. And they came because of the same position. I thought about the previous reputation. You understand when you read your Bible, in the Old Testament, and the shepherds was a reputable job. Abraham, the father of faith, was a shepherd. And Moses, the mighty man who led the people of Israel out of, and dear God, Egypt. And the Bible says he was a shepherd. And Jeremiah was a shepherd. Amos was a shepherd. And Joseph was a shepherd. And dear God, there was a time when they had great glory and great reputation and notoriety. But by the time we come, come to them in Luke chapter number 2, and they have lost their standing, and nobody is interested in an old stinky shepherd, and they were much too sophisticated and to care about them. And you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying these shepherds at one time, and dear God, they had a good reputation, but by the time you find them here, and they ain't wanted anymore. And when the God of all glory was setting up in heaven, you understand, friend, and that the angels gave him glory, and they praised him day and night. And dear God, there was never a time, never an hour, and that the angels of God and did not say, holy, holy, holy. And yet he left that estate. He left the place where he was. He left as the crown jewel of heaven and the splendor of everything that's there and the best part of all of glory. I mean, he left as the Son of God and the King of Kings in order to be born down on this earth. Oh, friend, he lost his reputation. And the Bible teaches us, and not only did he lose his reputation, but he lost his reception. I mean, everywhere he went, you just stop and think about in heaven. And when the Son of God was there, ever what he wanted, he commanded it, and it was done. If he needed somebody to do something, they done it. And dear friend, dear God, without asking. But when he came down here, and the Bible says he came to his own, and his own received him not. Oh, my friend, I'm telling you, those old shepherd boys, and they probably could relate to the fact that they used to have a good reputation, but now they had a sore reception. Oh, friend, I thought about whenever you begin to think about the resolve that they must have had. And the Bible says in this passage, and that they were abiding in the field and keeping watch over their flock, and by night, it was a dark time. And whenever God manifested his presence unto the hill, I mean, as far as naturally speaking, the sun had set and the darkness was upon them and the stars were in the sky. Oh, but thank God. And they were still there watching over the sheep. I say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And friend, whenever it was a dark time in my soul and a dark time in your soul, I'm glad there was a shepherd and that was still watching over the flock by night. I mean, in my darkest time, in my darkest hour, and dear friend, whenever hell was my home, I'm glad there was a shepherd even in the night season, friend, and that had his eyes upon me and coming willing to die and for my sake. Oh, friend, and when they came that day and they didn't know they was going to meet a shepherd, but dear God, before they left, and they had understood they had met and the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep, and dear friend, him met, and the shepherd that was going to do and what only God could do. I want you to notice, I thought about, and they had the same position, but I want you to notice their place, and they came from the same place. And the Bible says in verse 8, and there were in the same country. And well, what country was that? And the Bible says in verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, and because he was of the house and the lineage of David. I thought about, the Bible says, and you don't have to turn this morning, but I want to read this to you. I want you to notice the field that they were in. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel and chapter number 17, verse number 15, it said, but David went and returned from Saul and to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And now these shepherd boys, where they were at right now, and they were still in the same field and that David had been in and some 2,000 years before them. Hallelujah to God. And they were in the same field, and that whenever that giant rose up and there got on the other side, and everybody was afraid to fight him, and that man that stood 9 feet 6 inches tall and nobody wanted to fight him, and there was a man in a field on the other side of Bethlehem and just tending the flock, friend, and thank God. And then we come up all these thousands of years later and they're still right there in the same field and still tending the same sheep. I'm telling you, right in the midst of that place, and they meet this man and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, dear friend, it wasn't that it was just a field, but it was whose field that it was, and that was so important. It was the field of David, and this was the place. You understand the reason season. And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto the shepherds and he was interested in the name and that they were attached to. I don't know how many generations had passed, but they were still being just as faithful as they ever had right there in the field of day. I thought to myself as I was thinking, and can you imagine as they sat in the field and dear God and was watching over the sheep, that probably they said, you remember whenever our great, great, great granddaddy, he is watching the sheep in this very same field. Now there's something real peculiar about that, and because we know that the Bible in Psalm 132 and verse 11, and God says that out of David he is going to bring forth his son. And probably them shepherds, as they're sitting around, said one of these days out of David and out of this field, and God is going to bring his darling son. And what we find in this passage of scripture is that there are three places of David and that God is interested in here. I want you to notice first of all in chapter 1 verse 69, and the Bible records this, and it says, and he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And so there we find the house of David. And dear friend, you can turn in chapter number 2, and the Bible says in verse number 11, and for unto you is born this day in the city of David. And so we find there's a house of David, and we find there's a city of David, and this abides around the field of David. And you say, preacher, and what difference does that make? Well, listen, friend, what I find is whenever God said he was coming in the house of David, he is talking about his birth. He is talking about it is because of the house of David he fulfilled his promise and came down and was born of a virgin woman. But when he talks about the city of David, he's talking about the place of his death. It is in Jerusalem, and David's city, friend, and where he is judged at Gabbatha. And dear God, where he sits, and there at the pavement of the judgment seat, and where he is condemned to die, and where the crowds cried out, and crucify him, and crucify him. But as much as we look at this passion, it is not ultimately and the house of David that he's interested in, and nor is it and the city of David he is interested in. And but the Bible says in verse number 1 or chapter number 1, I want you to notice, the Bible declares in verse number 32, and it says, and he shall be great, and he shall be called the son of the highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him and the throne of his father David. And so dear God, when he came to the shepherd and they were happened to be in a field he was interested in a house he was interested in a city he was interested in, but more than that, there is a throne, friend, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in. And dear God, he sits on a throne right now, but it is not the throne of David. And the throne of David is a physical throne, it is a literal throne. And God promised in Ezekiel chapter 21, he said, remove the diadem. I will overturn it. And he said, until he whose right it is shall come, and then I will give it to him. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came to be born, he came to be born and to take over the throne of David. Amen. And now there's not a throne of David in heaven. Amen. And dear God, there's not a throne of David in the New Jerusalem. But there will be a throne of David. And right here on this earth, and dear God, in the field where he was born, in the city where he was born, in the house that he came out of, and the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign. Amen. And so we find, and dear God, he's probably interested in their place. But I want you to notice this. And the Bible said, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And they probably not only had the same position in the same place, but they also had the same possessions. Friend, you understand that shepherds and did not own anything. I mean shepherds and did not have a place to lay their head down at night. And they literally had what whatever was on them and whatever they could carry. And they'd typically have a weapon of some kind, but that was the extent of it. But thank God. He said, hey, shepherds, I'm going to let you see me. And we've got something in common. We got the same amount of possession. If you were to ask a shepherd, what is it that you own? And they could not point to a home, and they could not most likely point to spouses, but what they could point to was the flock that they owned. And that was it, friend. And they said, that's what I got right there. And what you can see, and whenever I leave here and the work's done, and the flock will transfer hands to another person, but the only thing I own is a whole bunch of stinking and rotten and dumb sheep. Amen. I say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ said he had not a place where to lay his head. And foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. And but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I'm telling you, dear friend, but the Bible's real clear. And dear God, in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he said that he hath purchased this flock and the flock of the sheep and those that are blood-bought and born again by his marvelous grace. It said he hath purchased them with his own blood. And we don't find a record of God buying anything. And if he needed to pay his taxes, he went fishing. Amen. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ had need of nothing. But thank God, if you were to ask him today, Lord Jesus, although you own all of heaven and earth, although everything that's around belongs unto you, and what is the one thing that you own? And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, and for ye are bought with a price. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God. Even as a baby, I mean, laying there in that place, when the shepherds came up and they said, only thing we got is a flock. He said, funny thing is, only thing I came down here for was just to purchase me a flock. Amen. Thank God for it. He could have bought whatever he wanted to. Amen. He owned all of heaven and the cattle on 1,000 hills. He could have purchased whatever it was. And Satan even said, if you'll bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. And then Lord Jesus, that doesn't interest me in the slightest bit. I'm not interested in worldly kingdoms. I'm not interested in worldly wisdom. I'm not interested in worldly wealth. He said, but there's some sheep out there. And he said, and if I gotta buy them, he said, I'll lay down my own life and purchase them. I say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I may not look like much, but I sure cost a lot. Amen. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ, and still to this day, it's not a matter of questioning. And God owns me, friend, and bought that right on the cross of Calvary and paid the debt to my Heavenly Father in my stead for me. I'm telling you why, shepherd, and because they could relate to the fact and that the only possession that he had and was the flock in which they owned. I'm glad I'm a part of his flock, aren't you? I'm glad I can chime in with David and say, the Lord is my shepherd, amen. I shall not want. He's been a good shepherd, amen. Amen, praise God. And there's some places where I didn't know I was going to get. But thank God he always went before me. I thought, dear friend, maybe the reason and that he appeared under the shepherd and was they probably had the same purpose. And now I want you to hear me. And these shepherds in particular, and the shepherds right outside of Bethlehem, and they weren't just raising sheep for wool. And that wasn't their purpose at all. And they wasn't raising sheep for food. And that wasn't their purpose at all. But these shepherds were raising their sheep for one purpose. And they'd nourish them from the time they were little ewe lambs. Amen. They would feed them by bottles. They would raise them up and they would protect them. And dear God, for a whole year. And that's all they would do for 1 year. But they didn't have a flock that was over a year old. And because everyone that was in their flock and was going to be taken right next door to the temple, and it was going to be sacrificed. And these shepherds understood that the flock they owned was there for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to be sacrificed for the glory of God Almighty. Almighty. And maybe the reason he appeared unto the shepherds and was near God is because and they could understand his purpose and better than the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they could understand that. And the Lord Jesus Christ came. Matter of fact, let's just turn over into the book of Isaiah chapter number 53. I want to read there just a little while. I mean, you find in Isaiah 53, and this is written in some 800 years, 750 to 800 years, and before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And yet the words in this book say these words, and the Bible teaches us, we'll just begin in verse number 2. It says, "For he shall grow up and before them as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground." And now what kind of sense does that make? And well, it didn't make much to them, but it light to me and you. And we understand that he grew in a womb, and dear God, that had never known a man. It was a dry ground, and yet a root sprang forth out. Hallelujah. That ought to make you shout a while. Amen. And notice the Bible says, in the same passage, "And he hath no form nor comeliness, and when he shall see him, and there is no beauty that we should desire him, and just like a shepherd, and surely he hath borne our griefs and carried away our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him and the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, and so he openeth not his mouth." I want you to understand, friend, and whenever he came and was born, he was not born to receive presents. He was born to die. The only purpose the Lord Jesus came was to pay the sin debt for me and for you on the cross of Calvary, had demanded his bloodshed. You say, what kind of God would do that? And the kind that loves you more than you love yourself, amen. And the kind of God who cares about you, and the kind of God who's so holy, and that he knows the only way you can escape his wrath is if he punished his own son. And so I say hallelujah. You want to know why it's good to sing glory to his name and why it's good to sing victory in Jesus? It's because without that, without him, and without God doing that to his son, I'm on my way to hell. And that's why he's worthy of everything I'll ever do. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our witness. He's worthy of our servant. Without that, friend, you're doomed to hell. He's worthy. So they is in that place, and he opened not his mouth. He could have. He chose not to. He could have. And at any time he wanted to, he could have, and they would have been doomed. But next time you're feeling like God doesn't love you too much, you just understand the only reason he stopped and endured everything he endured was because of you. Amen. Because of me. And I wonder how it is that we repay him sometimes. Oh, friend, I want to give you this, and I want you to notice they had the same positions, they had the same purpose, but probably the reason he came to the shepherds was not because they were shepherds, but because they were sinners. Amen. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now I want you to hear me. Jesus had as much saving power in him when he was born as he does right now on the throne. Amen. You say, "Preacher, how can a baby save?" Well, I'll tell you this. You tell me how a baby can give peace. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you. And the Bible said whenever Simeon picked him up in his arms, he said, "Now lettest thy servant depart in peace." So apparently just getting his arms around the Lord Jesus Christ was enough and to bring peace into his heart. I'm thankful, dear friend, that even as a babe, even as and dear God, however big he was or whatever the case may be, do not forget that that was still 100% God in that thing. And even as a small child, every ounce of saving power, every ounce of peace was in him while he yet lived. But watch this. Turn with me in your Bibles. Luke chapter 2. They went out and they witnessed. Told people about Jesus. Shepherd said, man, you ain't going to believe what we've seen tonight. Don't you feel like that when you try to tell people about Jesus sometimes? You ain't going to believe what I'm trying to tell you. But notice what the Bible says. I like this part. It says in verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20 said, and the shepherds returned. Amen. And the shepherds returned. That means they left the flock to go see Jesus. But while they were gone, their mind was on the flock. And just as sure as they left the flock, they were going to return for the flock. Maybe the reason the Lord appeared unto the shepherds, he was demonstrating that he was going to do the same thing. He was going to own the same things. He was going to be rejected in the same way. He was going to nurture and feed and lead in the same way. But maybe, just maybe, the most important thing about the way that he appeared unto the shepherd is he wanted everybody to know that just like the shepherds went away for a little while and then they returned, that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to go away for a little while and then he was coming again. Hey, listen, I'm his flock, amen. And dear God, you the flock at Amazing Grace. And God set me as the under shepherd. And that means that I just get to stand here and do the best I can to take care of the sheep and while they're here. But the chief shepherd is coming again, friend. And when the chief shepherd comes again, he's coming not for goats, amen. He's coming for sheep, bless God. And you better make sure that you're one of his. Amen.